Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, August 12, 2015. Negotiators for the government and rebels have stepped out of today's meeting, and the news is not good for South Sudanese.
We have disagreed on the structure of the government. We have disagreed on the powers and competencies of the president and the vice president, or the first vice president, as the rebels call it.
And a new rebel group that broke away from Riek Machar's SPLM-IO says it will reject any deal signed in Addis.
And we think that any peace that should be available to South Sudanese is a peace that should come without something Riek Machar.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Negotiators for President Salva Kiir's government and the armed opposition group led by Riek Machar emerged from days of closed-door meetings this evening. But the news they have for the people of South Sudan is not good. Government spokesman Michael McQuay says at this point the two sides
agreed to disagree on those outstanding issues. The chief negotiators will brief the mediators on the way forward and what we have discussed. After that, it will be for the mediators to make the necessary preparations for the principals to come and meet and probably discuss and agree on these outstanding issues.
McQuay gave a laundry list of items the two sides do not see eye to eye on.
We have disagreed on the structure of the government. We have disagreed on the powers and competencies of the president and the vice president, or the first vice president, as the rebels call it. We have also disagreed on the power sharing in terms of percentages, whether at the national level or at the state level. We have disagreed on security issues, on the demilitarization of Juba and other places.
The chief negotiator for the SPLM-IO, Taban Dengai, also says there's a wide divide separating his side and the government.
In the area of governance, we are still differing from agreeing on when do we implement federalism. The government is proposing that we implement federalism during the process of making the permanent constitution for the people of South Sudan. We are saying the issue of federalism is overdue.
And Deng says the SPLM-IO made concessions on several issues when the warring sides met here in March. He says at these latest negotiations, the government delegation has brought nothing new to the table.
The government came on with one president, two vice presidents, with equal status. We also accepted this on condition that the powers of the president and first vice president should be spelled out very clearly. This is an area of disagreement up to now because the government came again with their original proposal. They are calling for a president and two vice presidents with equal status, which has never happened in any government structures.
McQuay says whether the two sides sign a deal on Monday, the IGAD deadline, depends on the rebels and whether they negotiate in good faith. He says his side has completed its assignment.
The outstanding issues which are disagreed, even though they are few, but they are the most important. So as to whether we'll sign on the 17th or not, it's another issue. But what I'm saying is that all these disagreed issues are the most important, and without us agreeing on them, there is no peace.
Deng says Juba should soften its position on the areas of disagreement so that a final deal is reached next week. John Tanza prepared that report from Addis Ababa. IGAD chief mediator Sayoum Mesfin, meanwhile, says even though the two sides still seem far apart, he believes the final peace agreement will be signed by Monday's deadline. Eskinder Freyu reports for VOA from Addis.
Speaking on Ethiopian television last night, Sayoum said,
it's expected that the negotiators will conclude talks in the next 4 or 5 days. President Kiir and Dr. Machar will come to Addis Ababa tomorrow. They will join their teams and try to finalize the agreement.
President Kiir and Machar last came to Addis in March. They were supposed to sign a final agreement to end the fighting then, but the talks were suspended without a deal being signed. Several delegates at the talks, who asked not to be named because they were not authorized to speak, said they are optimistic that things will be different this time, even though the warring sides are still not close to an agreement. As we just heard, there are at least 15 points on which the two sides disagree. Seyoum says he believes that having President Kirin Machar at the talks will help to bridge the gap between the warring sides, allowing the two leaders to sign a peace deal on Monday to end 20 months of fighting in South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Skander Freo in Addis Ababa.
As the two main sides try to overcome their differences and meet the August 17th deadline, two rebel commanders have thrown a wrench in the works. Generals Peter Gadet Gat and Hothgat Quoth announced this week that they've broken away from Machar's SPLM-IO and are vowing to fight on. Gat Quoth tells my colleague Karen Zeitvogel that his group's main gripe is with President Kiir and Machar.
Self-appealing Machar can only lead the transitional government because two of them are symbol of hatred, are a symbol of division. The leadership of transitional government and national unity should be given to other tribes. Should come outside the Dinka, should come outside the Nuers. If that's not the case, and then it is better for the military leadership of the both sides to take over the leads of the transitional government and national unity until they prepare the constitution, they prepare for election. Then Riek Machar and Michel Fokir should stay aside until after the interim period. So because now you are telling me that Michel Fokir, you want President Michel Fokir to become president, the Nuer will not accept. You want Riek Machar to become the president, the Nuer will not accept. The better way for peace to come is two of them to step aside.
Right now you're talking peace, but are you vowing with this splinter group to continue fighting? I mean, what are you going to do with this splinter group? Are you positioning yourselves as a political group, or are you positioning yourselves as a fighting force that is going to continue the war in South Sudan?
Yeah, I think we are a political group, but we are also a fighting force. Because now these people, they will abandon, not the first time to abandon commanders outside. Now this is cut time for Machar to leave, to abandon his commanders. So I think that if he's going to sign that peace agreement for us, you, an international community, you should not accept because it's going to be a disabled peace. Because the other general war will be outside. They will continue fighting the war until the total liberation, self-appeal Machar must go. And we think that any peace that should be saleable to South Sudanese is a peace that should come without Salvador Riek Machar.
Right now, it seems that your group is the only group that is saying that it will continue fighting even if a peace agreement is signed on Monday. Doesn't that put you at odds with the entire international community and even with the people, the millions of people in South Sudan who have been forced from their homes, the tens of thousands who are mourning people who have died in the conflict?
There's nothing wrong with the peace. But the problem is the leadership of the transitional government of national unity based on President Kiir and Riek Machar. So that agreement of Addis Ababa is the agreement that is going to only to secure the position of Riek Machar and the President Kiir.
One proposal from the international community, and specifically from IGAD Plus, is that South Sudan, that Juba should be demilitarized. The SPLM in opposition wants that demilitarization to be extended to all of South Sudan. IGAD is proposing that to keep the peace and maintain security, a foreign force would be brought into South Sudan made up of UN peacekeepers, AU troops. Are you in favor of that sort of proposal?
Yeah, I think that one is not a good solution because that means people are not serious with peace because why South Sudanese are being guided by other forces.
Okay, but you have to remember, after World War II, Japan and Germany had exactly the same thing happen to them. Look where both those countries are now.
Yeah, for us, I think and that should be something. Why don't you go for a good peace? Because the issue of demilitarization of the capital, it cannot even bring the unity among the Nuers and the Dinka who are fighting. So why don't you encourage that the South Sudanese should be given a good peace that they trust themselves so they go back to a normal life? For us, we don't have a problem for the international force to come and secure Juba when it is demilitarized. But I think that's not a good way because you will not be looked very good by the other South Sudanese. Because South Sudanese, they have to rule themselves. They should be given a free time to rule themselves. Now, yes, they failed for the last 9 years. But the situation should be created that they should be created so that they govern themselves correctly. They should be given a good leadership, because it actually was the leadership who killed Southern Sudanese. It's not Southern Sudanese who are owned themselves. They created the war for themselves. It was created by the leadership.
Who are you proposing as a leader? Because you said you don't want Riek Machar, you don't want President Salva Kiir, and you said even that you would like the next leaders of South Sudan to be from outside the Dinka and the Nuer ethnic groups. So who are you proposing?
Right.
Who are you proposing should be the leader of South Sudan?
John, I cannot give you a person, name or person. Yeah. But there are people in South Sudan who have the personality of quality to lead the South Sudan.
Are you going to register as a political group?
Next week we are going to declare. We have already actually agreed on a name that we are going to form Federal Democratic Party. Federal Democratic Party is going to be the name of our political party. Then the name of the forces will be Southern Sudan National Army.
That's General Gadhoff Gadquoth, one of the leaders of the newly announced splinter group in South Sudan. He was speaking with Karen Zeitvogel earlier today. A spokesman for Machar's rebel group, Stephen Parkwall, denies there has been a split in the SPLM-IO.
There is a difference between a split and the factions. What we have seen is a defection of some disgruntled generals who have been reshuffled out of our command hierarchy. They have not been dismissed yet as members of the movement, but what we have seen from the way they talk, the way they irresponsibly issue a statement, you have to call it defection, not a split.
Taban Dengai, the chief negotiator for the SPLM-IO, also brushed off the declaration by Gadquoth and General Peter Gadet that they are forming a new movement.
That's a statement, that's their personal view. They are entitled to. That's even the essence of that is democracy. So they don't need to rebel because of that. And because they have a forum that we have been discussing in Nasser, we have been discussing in Pagak. I think there are many issues that they have raised is that they are not for peace. They don't want peace. They don't want peace. They don't want unification of the SPLM.
Gadet has been sanctioned several times by the international community, but Gadquoth told us that he has never been the target of sanctions. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Aid agencies are hurrying to meet the needs of thousands of displaced South Sudanese arriving at the UN compound in Malakal. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Do you think dreams have meanings?
Joseph in the Bible recorded that he had dreams about his family frustrating to him. And at the end of the day, it actually came to pass. So I do believe.
I think dreams have meaning. And sometimes if I dream, it happens. And sometimes I don't take it serious, but it happens.
I have believed that God talks to people through dreams. And even other people also talk to other people through dreams. And most times, certain things that you want to see, you have been thinking about throughout the day. When you lay down, you also dream about it. So dreams have meaning.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The International Organization for Migration, or IOM, says aid agencies are racing to cope with the rapid influx of thousands of internally displaced South Sudanese at a UN compound in Malakal, Upper Nile State. Lisa Schlein has the story for VOA from IOM headquarters in Geneva.
Since mid-July, more than 16,000 people have fled to the UN site in Malakal for protection and assistance. Nearly 10,700 have arrived since August 1st. International Organization for Migration spokesman Joel Millman tells VOA, "This heavy influx of new arrivals is creating a chaotic and untenable situation for both the displaced and the aid agencies trying to help them." Millman notes the camp, which was designed for 18,000, now houses 46,500 internally displaced. And this number, he says, is rapidly rising as almost 1,000 new people are arriving every day.
So we can imagine that tents are overcrowded, that the passageways between tents are being filled with sort of impromptu settlements, that sanitation is now a huge concern because people relieve themselves very close to their drinking water supply, which we have to maintain in some manner.
In addition to these already challenging conditions, Millman says aid agencies now have to cope with impending rains. He says this will worsen the already desperate living conditions in the improvised settlements and make it more difficult to provide assistance. He says IOM is doing what it can to provide services to new arrivals, but he says the current influx is unprecedented, and the heavy rains, together with increasing congestion, are adding to the collective misery. He says the UN mission in South Sudan and humanitarian agencies are working to provide additional space to shelter families in dry areas. But he says this will not solve the problem of overcrowding.
The more we build, the faster people come for shelter. We can't separate families. We can't tell people. We can't turn them away. On the other hand, we can't expose them to what could be extremely dangerous health conditions. If you don't do proper drainage, I mean, what diseases are you attracting? Can you have a new tent city that becomes a flooded tent city, and how do you deliver to that?
Millman says operations are underway to provide safe drinking water and sanitation. He says IOM is digging emergency pit latrines, though not enough to meet demand. Humanitarian agencies have been unable to provide aid to communities in areas surrounding Malakal for months because of the conflict. This is behind much of the current exodus. To stem the flow of new arrivals into Malakal, the agencies agree they must be allowed to distribute relief immediately to these underserved populations. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
There's been more reports of looting and attacks as the peace talks continue in Addis. At least two people, including a national security officer, were reportedly killed after rebel forces loyal to Riek Machar attacked two commercial trucks transporting food commodities on the Wau-Tambura Road, a lifeline route linking western Bahar Ghazal to Equatoria states. Dima Silva Oriello has the details for VOA from Wau.
The trucks came under fire last night near Bo Bridge in the Ngombolo area of Pile Payam in Wau County. Authorities say a Somalian driver was taken hostage by the armed group. Local government minister Angelo Taban Biajo blames Riek Machar's fighters, whom he says are launching this kind of attacks to block commodities from neighboring Equatoria state from reaching western Bahar Ghazal.
They managed to stop the truck, which was coming from side of Western Equatoria. So one of the soldiers belonged to National Security. He made resistance by name Manyar, so he was shot to death. They arrested the driver, and then assistant driver managed to escape and ran away. So he's the one who came in with the full report about the incident that happened yesterday. Another person been killed. He was on the other different truck from here going to Western Equatoria. His wife managed to report to Najero area that his husband has been killed.
Taban says the trucks were attacked within hours of each other on the same day. Both were driven by Somali businessmen planning to stock their food commodities in stores in Wau town. Taban says since the rebels appear to be targeting trucks carrying food, Western Bahar Ghazal officials may be forced to provide escorts for all trucks transporting goods along the Wau-Tambura Road.
Security precaution is going on. I think that area within these 2 days will be secure, and then patrol will be around the area that between Bo Bridge and the side of Greater Beselia. But it's not the first time for that incident to happen. I think 2 months ago the same incident was happened. They are aiming to get feeding from food items from the trucks.
The Wau-Tambura Road is the only major roadway that remains operational in the region after insecurity in Rumbek forced drivers to stop using an alternative route linking western Bahar Ghazal state to Juba. Taban says suspects have been arrested for an attack carried out on Mboro Road last week, where a paramount chief was wounded and two others were killed. He says the 14 youths arrested are suspected of having links with the rebels and may have plotted to to assassinate the newly appointed paramount chief, William Camilo Gatti. Taban says the youth will be released if there is no enough evidence to support the charges against them. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting in WOW.
Japan has extended its UN peacekeeping mandate in South Sudan for another 6 months. Japan's ambassador to South Sudan, Kiya Masahiko, says the decision made by his country's cabinet in Tokyo last Friday will enable the force to continue supporting development projects. Japan's 350-member force was deployed to South Sudan in November 2011 as part of a UN peacekeeping mission. These peacekeepers are the only Japanese forces overseas. Demilitarization of South Sudan has been a sticking point in the Addis talks. The government's demanded that it be in charge of demilitarized zones, but the IGAD proposal would place rebel forces in charge of some areas. Masahiko says the mandate for Japanese forces was due to expire by the end of this month.
The term was of the UNMISS mandate was extended to the end of November. That Security Council resolution was adopted at the end of May. So we need to have the dispatch of our contingent to be extended as well.
Masahiko says the Japanese peacekeepers include engineers who work on construction projects at UNMISS sites, especially at UN protection of civilian sites and UN offices.
The Japanese engineering contingent is now undertaking a work of paving the road between the UN house and the city center. And it was some time ago that the fence for the river port was made by the work of the Japanese engineering contingent. That's for the purpose of protecting the river port for security.
Masahiko says Japanese forces will also help build a new river port in Juba. He says Japanese forces can also help children affected by the conflict by providing clothes and shelter. He says Japan hopes the warring parties will end the conflict very soon.
Hopefully early next week, so that the peace will come back to this country. And the Japanese contingent will be part of the UNMISS to support the fulfillment of the UNMISS mandate.
Masahiko says Japan has given nearly $330 million in aid to South Sudan since its independence to support water and electricity projects and health and education programs. Philip Thon Leu prepared that report from Juba. Today is World Youth Day, and stakeholders in South Sudan are calling for a collective effort to empower youth across the country and address the challenges they face. VOA fellow Tito Justin reports for VOA from Washington.
This year's theme for International Youth Day is all about youth civic engagement. At a news conference held at the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports, representatives of various stakeholders highlighted the critical challenges facing South Sudanese youth, ranging from high unemployment to widespread illiteracy to lack of access to health care. But government officials and youth representatives say the only way these challenges can be addressed is by working together. Agum Rin is South Sudan's Undersecretary of the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports. She says more than 60% of the country's population is comprised of youth, and acknowledges that most of them are jobless.
As we know now, all the government institutions, they cannot handle all the number of the youth to be employed. But we are asking our youth also to be creative in life, because create some skills so that you can be able to do what you can do.
Rin says youth should not focus only on securing white-collar jobs with the government or NGOs. She says they should also acquire vocational and life skills and become self-employed in jobs like carpentry and agriculture. Barnabas Yisa is the country's representative of the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, in South Sudan. He says young people are the driving change towards a better future, leading the way on climate change, efforts to end discrimination, and upholding rights to freedom of speech.
Without investing in young people, definitely the development of South Sudan will not move at the pace it should. And therefore, I will call on all of us to do what we can to support young people, invest in young people, in their education, in their health, in the skills that will ensure that South Sudan begins to attain peace and grow economically and politically.
Yisa says if South Sudan invests in youth now, the next 15 years will accelerate a period of conflict recovery and sustainable economic growth and development. Flora Albino is a 25-year South Sudanese designer who created her own company called Flora Fason. She says South Sudan's high illiteracy rate is a major challenge.
Our youth here, the majority are not educated. If educated, they haven't reached a certain level that will enable them to really know their rights. They need to know like their potential or what they're able to really do.
Esther Ikere, Undersecretary of the Ministry of Labor and Public Service, says early marriage is another major challenge which forces girls to abandon their education.
We also concern about peace and security related issues. If you go back into our context, if we have not engaged youth, then we are leaving them out of the development processes. They can be engaged in other activities that may not be good for the development of this nation.
International Youth Day is recognized by the United Nations and celebrated annually to applaud the actions of young people around the world in improving their well-being and that of their communities. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
And Waki Simon Wudu compiled that report from Juba. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's news. Negotiators for the two warring parties stepped out of this evening's private meeting, sounding as though they're still far apart on the main sticking points. Information Minister Michael McQuay says they agreed to disagree, for now, on power sharing and other issues. The chief negotiator for the SPLM-IO, Tabang Dengai, also says there's a wide divide separating his side and the government. As the two main sides scramble to meet the August deadline and restore peace in the country, two rebel commanders have broken away from Machar's SPLM-IO and vowed to fight on. General Gathoth Gatkwath, one of the leaders of the new group, says his biggest problem lies with President Kiir and Machar. He says neither leader should be in charge of the country. And finally, at least two people, including a national security official, were reportedly killed after rebel forces loyal to Machar attacked two commercial trucks transporting food on the Wau Tambora Road. That's a look at some of today's stories. And that's our show for this Wednesday. We leave you with the song Long Gongyo by Colonel Mido from Ye.
Sabi Guru shuta ki dema bodita fisa mae Saidu masakine Saidu akwana kulue Saidu masakine Saidu akwana kulue Guru shuta ki dema bido funita ya sabi Taki de ma bodita fisa mae Saidu masakine Saidu akwana kulue Saidu masakine Hey yakwana Aino takumlo kuluku Makalam gurush rasto biga kebir Makalam gurush biga mabiseli munasfisika Aba hal kulu makalam gurush Guruku, so Colomonio Ladi Juakenisa, Woody Guru Shuya, Ah, the Guruku, Guru Shumabi Dofunita, Eta Bissibu Guru de Kurufi Dunia.
We've been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Langano. I'm Carol Van Damme in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ida Zeridia Ziada Jena Kanayan Bijua.